And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is really lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley. I'm joined by medical herbalist and pharmacist Gerald Quigley. Hi, GQ.
Good morning, Jo.
And lovely to see you, Sally Obermeter.
Good morning, guys. Happy Sunday.
Morning, Sel.
Oh, it's lovely. Lovely to be up and about. And okay, so Sel, GQ, yesterday my husband and I had a rare couple of hours to ourselves because my daughter was off with friends.
Where are we going with this, Jo?
I took the opportunity to lean into him, Gerald, and say, darling. Yes. He said, yes. I said,
I want breakfast.
No. Are you registered as an organ donor?
And what did he say?
Well, neither of us could remember. So there's
a
very
different topic.
There's a very handy website, donatelife.gov.au. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he was, and I thought I was, but I wasn't.
Well,
so you can
go.
Just check with your Medicare number.
Yes.
And it tells you, and it can register you straight away if you're not. Very simple.
That's one of the more romantic Saturday mornings, Jo.
That's right. It's not where I thought that story was going at all.
Well, but, you know, you're going to take these opportunities to have conversations when you can. Yeah. And I think we would agree that it is the right thing to do because we know that it saves lives. In fact, one person donating their organs means up to seven people will come off the organ donation wait list. So it's extraordinary. But currently only one in three people are registered to donate their organs.
Okay, so do you think you're better to automatically be on and then have to opt out rather than be out and have to opt in?
I think that it's everyone's right to make a choice about that. And so
you still get your choice.
Sure. I think the conversation is important to be had, I suppose. I think the fact that you're opting in means you speak about it with your loved ones and you make that choice. So for me, that works. But I do wish there were more people that would opt in, I suppose. Sel?
Definitely, I agree. And I think there was a bit of a misunderstanding. I think people used to think, because in the old days, I say in the old days, but what I mean is you used to tick a box on your driver's license.
That's right.
But actually you have to register now. So there's a difference. I think people go, oh, no, I am registered. I ticked it once on my license, and they think they're done. Mm-hmm. But actually that's not correct. I'm keen to clear that up today.
I hope so. And there's my card, Jo. I'm a card carrying member. No, I have no idea why I have a card.
I was going to say, I didn't get a card. There's no card. Will I get one in the mail?
Maybe I pay more than you do.
<I don't know. laughs> VIP.
Yeah. You've got better organs, perhaps.
That'll be it. Mine says Australian Organ Donor Register. It's got my name on it and a number. And at the bottom it says, I've registered my decision about organ and tissue donation.
Mm. Well, today is the beginning of Donate Life Week. So we are going to be chatting with Associate Professor Helen Optum, the National Medical Director of the Organ and Tissue Authority. And she will explain what's involved with organ donation, the considerations that do need to be made, and the conversation you might wish to have with your families. And, yes, to debunk, some of those myths that you're talking about there, Sel, because I do think maybe there's a little mystery. And in a way, it's a confronting conversation to have with your loved ones.
No one wants to talk about, you know, the end, do they? It's one of those things that we just avoid. But actually, I think, you know, I have cancer and I, for a long time during my treatment, didn't think I was going to make it. So I had that conversation. I was like, if I don't make it, what would I like to have happen? You know, are my organs going to be good enough? I don't know. I've just been through this chemo. And you have to have those conversations. You don't want to, but you should.
Mm, yeah.
It was dinner conversation last night, actually. Well, we're out with friends, and this was one of our topics.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's really important to speak openly about these things. Also today, Bondi dermatologist Dr. Philip Tong will talk about skin hydration and the key ingredients that should go into quality products for hydration. And surprisingly, oatmeal gets a mention. I'm surprised. And also he says over winter we should be applying our moisturiser up to four times a day.
Oh, so that's a challenge.
Just excuse me, I'm up for my second already. Gerald, you're here, of course, for A to Z of Vitamins. This week we're going to be talking about boosting our energy levels and strengthening our body's immune system, very critical going in as we get through our winter months. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. 131 873 is our number. We'd love to hear any questions that you might have to support your health and well-being today. 131 873, do call. Next up, the life-changing effects of organ donation. That's on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What if there was a way you could save young lives while saving the planet? Introducing Unlabeled, a range of cruelty-free, vegan and ethically sourced skincare products made from 100% recycled post-consumer waste plastic. But here's the best part. 100% of all profits from the sale of Unlabeled products goes towards preventing youth suicide. So try Unlabeled the next time you need to top up your hand wash. It's just $8.99 at Chemist Warehouse and includes essential oils like lemon myrtle, sandalwood and eucalyptus. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Well, receiving an organ donation would have to be the greatest gift that anyone in need of this could ever receive. And today is the start of Donate Life Week. So we're shining a light on what's involved to register as a donor. And joining us on the line is Associate Professor Helen Optum, who's the National Medical Director of the Organ and Tissue Authority. Good morning, Helen. It's lovely to have you.
Good morning. It's great to be on your show.
So it's a very simple question, but who can donate an organ?
Well, look, almost anyone could be an organ donor, but one of the things that people don't fully understand is that the chance of someone actually dying and becoming a donor is actually very small. In fact, there's only about 1,200 people each year who die in those very rare circumstances where they could help others through donating a life-saving organ that could mean, you know, a transplant for someone in need.
That's not as many as you might think, right?
No, that's right. So you need to really die in hospital in an intensive care unit. So it's a really infrequent situation, and it's really important when that happens that as many of those people do become donors as possible. But currently our consent rates are only 60%, which is not consistent with what we know Australians think about donation, with the vast majority being very supportive.
So what should people do if they're considering, you know, organ donation? What do you suggest that they do?
Well, two things. Very importantly, register on the Australian Organ Donor Register and let their family know they're prepared to be a donor. You know, if we want access to transplantation for ourselves and our loved ones and our community, then we really need to be prepared to be donors as well. And, you know, what the circumstances are when someone can donate, it's usually a sudden illness or injury. And the biggest difficulty for families at that time is if they don't know what their loved one wanted. Now, if they do know, it's an easier decision at an otherwise very tragic and difficult time. And families generally want to honour the wishes of the person they love. And if they know they wanted to be a donor, it just makes it a lot easier, that difficult decision.
Helen, I'm a proud card carrier of the Australian Organ Donor Register. I don't know why this card was sent to me, but it's got my name on it. Do people need to, is carrying a card, which is the size of a bank card, does that make it easier to actually proudly say to your family, look, this is what I want, please don't override my wishes? And is that a fact that you've got to face? Can your family override your wishes if you don't have the discussion open and honestly before the need arises?
Yeah, look, that does happen occasionally. Usually it's when families have not had that direct conversation. So, Gerald, carrying a card and having that conversation with your family is really important because it really makes it clear to them what your wishes are. And that's, you know, why we're really promoting donation with the coming week, Donate mm-hmm. Life Week, and really encouraging people through this great registration race to register. It only takes a minute. You can sign up at donatelife.gov.au or just with three taps through your Medicare app. Mm-hmm. But importantly, speak to the people closest to you, because they're always in the hospital talking to the doctors and nurses at the end of life of someone when donation becomes, you know, a choice.
Helen, let's speak about the need. What are the current stats for wait lists and people who are, you know, unwell and waiting to receive an organ donation?
Yeah, so currently there's about 1,750 people actively waiting for that life-saving or life-enhancing organ transplant. Last year there were a little over 1,100 people who received organ transplants from that generous gift after someone had died, you know, that decision made by them and their family. So there's people being added to the list all the time and people transplanted off the list. But there's also a further 12,000 people on dialysis because of kidney failure, and many of those people could also possibly benefit from a transplant. So there's a great unmet need out there.
Well, you speak about 60% of people in Australia are registered, but that it's not consistent with how we feel about it in the community, and we have some interest here on the phones. John from Narre Warren, you have a question for Helen?
Could I nominate somebody I don't like?
John!
John, come on now.
Get
into the spirit of the conversation.
You're a sneaky one, because that is not the question I believe you were going to ask, Helen.
I missed that, sorry. What did John say? Can he decide where his organs go? Was that the...
His question
was, is there an age limit for becoming an organ donor, Helen?
Look, there's not, and it's really important people don't rule themselves out. Look, we've had people in their 80s become organ donors after they've died. That can lead to a life-saving liver transplant to someone without, you know, who would have died without that person having made that decision. So it doesn't matter how old you are, what your medical history is, your lifestyle, what country you're from, where you've lived. Even if you've had COVID, none of those things will exclude you from being an organ donor. So don't rule yourself out. Let the medical experts decide. If you are in that situation where you do die and you can become a donor, they'll sort out what's suitable at that point in time.
Okay.
Helen, there's a myth that goes around that says medical staff won't work as hard to save your life if you're registered as a donor. Can you talk to that?
Oh, yeah, that's one that really bothers me, because I'm also an intensive care specialist and, you know, I work in hospitals. I know doctors and nurses always try incredibly hard to save someone's life, and it's, you know, only when it's become clear that the person's died or death's inevitable that donation ever becomes a consideration.
Well, Helen, I think that it's a very critical conversation to be had, and we would encourage anybody who is considering to really just make that effort. It's such a simple thing to do. Head along to donatelife.gov.au and register today, and make sure you have that conversation with your family. Gerald, it's so important.
And good luck with your week, Helen, the Donate Life Week campaign. I hope it's successful and we just break that gap between the people who are very keen on it actually to take the next step and say, yes, I will register.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time, Helen.
Thanks, Helen.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Our number is 131 873. We'll get to your calls next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Overmeter, and we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It is Donate Life Week, so we're just talking about encouraging you all to get yourself registered for donation, organ donation. And Adrian from Concord West, do you have a personal experience of this?
Yes, I do. My partner's brother, fortunately, passed away under tragic circumstances late last year. And, you know, as much as it was all really upsetting at the time, we all sort of took solace that, you know, while we got some really saddening phone calls a few days later, you know, seven other families got calls that were life-giving. So
brilliant.
I really encourage everyone to, you know, register, have that conversation with the family, because it's so true. There's so many limited circumstances where people can actually donate their organs, and so many families end up choosing against it. But you can always take solace. And you get letters in the weeks and months later from the people that receive the organs to see how they're going.
That.
And that's also
well done, Adrian.
The healing process.
Well done. Great feedback. And there must be many, many stories like yours. And as sad as it is at the time, think of the glow that you're causing in seven other families.
Oh, it's an extraordinary story.
The impact, when you hear that, seven other families, that's, you know,
it's amazing. Thank you so much sharing that, Adrian. We'll get to some more calls in just a minute, but a very quick reminder that it's important to go along and get your booster, your COVID booster, if you're eligible. Now, Gerald, you've done some research as to what is the time length in which we were able to go and get the booster.
Think 3 months, Joe. That's probably the best thing. You can always check with your local pharmacy as well. But the important thing is really to just get the vaccination done. There's no disputing that, in spite of some discussions that have been had. It's just important, particularly if you're in that vulnerable age group or you have some other health issues, get the vaccination. Book in. You can do it online. It's easy, particularly in a pharmacy where you're on your own. You don't have people all around you. Get it done. And wear your mask as well in a crowd. It's easy to do.
Yes. I'm a passionate mask wearer in crowded situations, particularly public transport.
Well, it's just logical, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Also, it means I don't have to put my makeup on.
It's a win-win in my book.
Absolutely. Good. So, yes. And now let's get to some calls. Hello, Anne in Melbourne.
Hello, Anne.
Hello. Hi. My elderly father has been recently diagnosed with dementia. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, I mean, he's quite okay mobility-wise. He has good days and bad days. Some days he's not good at all with memory. Is there a natural supplement or any kind of food or anything I could be doing? There was a medication that his geriatrician prescribed, which he's refusing to take because apparently it causes nausea and vomiting and weight loss. So we're really now thinking, well, what else could we do to help?
And the rules preclude me from saying, yes, there is an option and naming a brand, but I can report on the research release from a drink that's a one-a-day drink called Suvenade, and that has been shown to reduce mild cognitive impairment reduction over time with long-term use by 60%. So if there's something that you'll be able to use either as well or at least as a replacement, get some information on Suvenade. It's disappointing that the geriatrician didn't offer that as an option, but that's the research finding. It's out there. It's open. It's been reported, and it's pretty impressive stuff.
Thanks so much for your call, Anne. Mary, good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. Yes, tomorrow we are booked to have day number 4 injection.
Yes.
And COVID. And what's the name? My husband suffers with phlegm. And he's got a bit of a cough tomorrow. Do you think it's wise for us to go and have it still?
I think you're better to delay it until he feels better, Mary, because all the experts seem to think that if your body's fighting something, as it is, it doesn't need to be further challenged by a vaccination. So waiting a few more days until he throws that off, get some appropriate treatment, ask your pharmacist about it, and then rebook. That's the best thing to do.
All the best with that there, Mary. And Bill in Parkdale, good morning.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, good morning. Greetings and salutations to everybody. How are you all going?
We're well, Bill. How can we help?
We're up and about like you are.
I'm on my walk here. Look, just a quick one before I get to what I've called for. This
Ashwagandha, Bill.
Ashwagandha?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been to 3 Chemist Warehouse in my area and haven't heard of it.
That's disappointing, Bill, because it's a very well-known herb for helping sleep and reducing anxiety, and available in every Chemist Warehouse. You can just ask for it and perhaps have them take it to the shelf and you can pick it up yourself, but very effective in reducing certainly anxiety across the day and your restful sleep.
Thanks so much for your call there, Bill. 131-873 is our number. Do keep your calls coming. And next up, how we can keep our skin hydrated and in top condition throughout winter.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. The number is 131 873, with questions for your health. Dave from East Ringwood, good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, everybody. I've just got a quick question for Gerald, sure. If I may. Just regarding K2, yes. Gerald.
Yes.
I'm on statins already for cholesterol type 2, so I just quickly wanted to ask, would it still be of benefit or do they clash or...
No, in fact, one supports the other, Dave. The K2 will support the statin because the K2 specifically works on the calcium in your, if there's any calcium, in your coronary arteries. If there's none, no harm done. If there is, it will help.
Good question, though, Dave. Thank you so much for that. Shane from Jumbana, hello.
Hello, Shane.
How you going, guys?
We're well. How can we help?
I was just wondering, can I donate my organs because I have vasculitis?
Mm-hmm. You certainly can.
So,
Shane, you certainly can. And if you ring the line and the contact there, Joe, is the Donate Life website. We'll just get it for you.
Oh, we'll find that. It's donatelife.gov.au.
You can ring them just to verify, but there is no reason at all, Shane, why you cannot add your name onto the Australian Organ Donor Register, and congratulations for making the decision.
Mm. And I think the message, Sal, has been that we should really, I mean, if you want to do it, because it's not up to us to decide.
Yeah, that's right. And I think if you've got any questions and you're thinking, oh, but would I be eligible? I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Probably they don't want them. Rather than just kind of deciding for yourself, you know, as GQ said, just get on the line, ask, and that way you'll know for sure whether or not, you know, you can, and you can make a more informed decision.
Mm. Yeah. Are you still an organ donor, Sal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good. Yep, very happy. Very happy to be an organ donor.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, actually.
It is a nice feeling. Mm. I think, you know, at our core, I think as humans, we just want to help people. And I think if there's a way that you can help from beyond, then that it's a nice feeling.
Mm. Yeah, and to hear that story, to know that in the solace that you get, knowing the difference you're making to 7 families... whilst managing the grief that you yourself are experiencing. That must be extraordinary. Oh. Well, when it comes to winter, we need to look after our skin, which can become dry, itchy and irritable as the cold weather sets in. This morning, we take some advice on how we can maintain good skin health during this time. And joining us on the line is Bondi dermatologist, Dr. Philip Tong. Good morning, Phil.
Pleasure to be here. Fantastic to be in the House of Wellness with all of you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. We're very well people here in the House of Wellness. Or we aim to be anyway. So tell us, it is chillier at this time of year. Does that mean that we look after our skin in different ways?
You know, you're right, actually, because winter tends to cause itchy skin, particularly itchy skin flare-ups. And that's a lot to do with not only the climate, so it's drier, it's colder, but it's also what we do to our skin. A lot of my patients are having longer, hotter showers, using heaters and electric blankets, and all of those things that we do to our skin can dry the skin up.
So what is needed to care for our skin then during these months?
I think it's actually an awareness and understanding of what you're doing to your skin. So keeping that temperature in the shower cooler or temperate, as well as having a good routine, making sure you're still moisturising as you are in summer, as you are in winter, and maybe even changing the consistency of the products that you're using on your skin such that it's providing that hydrating, nourishing care that you need. And, of course, having soap-free products as well is very important.
Phil, we hear about oatmeal. What role, which a lot of people have for breakfast, but what role for skin structure? How does oatmeal actually give moisture to your skin?
Well, the thing is, dermatology has had a long association with oatmeal. It's been used in hospitals, teaching hospitals for a very long time as a cooling, calming agent to relieve itchy skin flare-ups. Now, the way it works is that it has a number of properties through its various constituents that hydrate the skin. It also contains ingredients that help soothe the skin and a number of other properties that balances the skin normal pH levels as well.
Wow.
What if you've got extremely dry skin? A lot of people in winter complain about that. What advice have you got?
Well, when it's extremely dry skin, particularly dry, flaky, cracked skin, I do recommend switching to an ointment base rather than a cream. An ointment just helps to add that extra level of greasiness to the skin that really helps to protect those dry, broken areas and doesn't sting as well.
Phil, you've mentioned moisture. How many times ideally in a day, bearing in mind that no one's got spare time to do anything, how many times in an ideal world would you suggest we moisturise? Just night and morning or depending on your skin type, I suppose?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say at least twice a day if possible. I mean, I do tell my patients to spend at least a good 15 to 30 minutes moisturising your skin, and often in my practice demonstrate how much cream to actually put on various parts of the body, because you'll often be surprised how much is actually required.
Are we not using enough? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, you mean as we're applying it, we should apply more quantity?
Yes, because you often what I see my patients just put maybe one or two pumps or one, you know, one squeeze of the tube, and it's no wonder their skin is still dry. But it's not just the quantity, but it's also finding a right product with the right ingredients and so forth that is so crucial to having healthy skin.
Phil, would it be true that as you age, your skin becomes drier? And I do have some very loved, more senior people in my life who really are quite tortured by very dry, itchy skin.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm not looking at you. I'm looking out the window. But that must be a common experience.
Absolutely. And then particularly as we age, hormone levels drop and so forth. And those types, for example, estrogen plays a huge role in skin hydration and maintaining that suppleness of the skin. And as we age, those hormone levels drop and the skin becomes naturally drier. And therefore, I often encourage my patients, just make sure you moisturise your lower legs as well, because you're protecting your skin from, you know, cuts and breaks, because the skin's just more elastic.
And I suppose it's also thinking about what's in your cleanser, because I think that soaps are quite irritating, aren't they?
Well, that's right. And hence, as a dermatologist, I always recommend a soap-free cleanser, one that supports, you know, your skin's natural microbiome. And there are a number of products. Just ask your friendly pharmacist or pharmacy assistant to guide you on which cleansers actually, you know, support your skin's pH, as well as have avoid those nasty ingredients such as fragrances and dyes and parabens and so forth.
Phil, there's a trend, particularly with young kids and babies almost, that to use moisturisers that smell nice. Have you got a thought on perfume in these things?
My preference is to avoid perfume products, because they can later on develop an irritation, if not an allergen, to some of these ingredients.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for this. It's certainly chilly, and I've got my heater on a lot, and I'm feeling the effects of that. Yeah. So great advice. Thanks, Phil. You have a great day.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a great morning. Bye.
Coming up, we give you more tips on how to have a healthy lifestyle on the A to Z of vitamins. That's here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Dry, itchy skin back to ruin your winter again? Try Dermaveen Extra Hydration Intensive Moisturising Lotion. Its multi-action ingredient, Oat Active Plus, provides 6 skin benefits. The rich lotion protects, hydrates, prevents, soothes, balances and supports the skin, all while providing clinically proven 24-hour hydration. Feel confident in your skin this winter with Dermaveen Intensive Moisturising Lotion. Only $14.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Gerald, it's time for A to Z of vitamins. We're talking Go Healthy's Go Ubiquinol 300 milligrams.
We talk energy all the time. And how many people now do we know that are struggling to come out of the fog that's associated with recovering from a COVID infection? And one of the ways of helping produce energy at cellular level is to use the ready-to-use form of CoQ10, and that's called Ubiquinol. So if fatigue is something in your life that you are struggling to overcome, this is a very simple remedy. And so the issue with here is that as we get a little older, I'm looking at Joe this time.
Sure, I'll wear that. I just turned 50, everybody. So, yes,
and congratulations. Thanks. That's great.
Yeah. Doesn't look a day over 30.
That's nice.
The important thing is that we don't produce in our body enough CoQ10 to cope with the demands we have on our muscles, on these little things called mitochondria, which are the energy-producing cells in the body. And this is a way of supporting that. It's a very simple, ready-to-use form of CoQ10. Get some advice. If fatigue is a problem, go for it.
Yeah, yes. Agree, totally. A helping hand always. Mm.
The A to Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Go Healthy's Go Ubiquinol 300 milligram. We've got time for one more quick call. Good morning, Sue in Melbourne.
Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Yes, hello, Sue. How can we help?
Well, it's very strange. I've never had any trouble with my skin at all. Mm-hmm. And I've just noticed that when I'm sitting in at night, you know, with the heating on and things, I get like a rosacea on my, it looks like a rosacea on my cheeks and things. I'm fine during the day. It's only, you know, if I get in the heat and if I'm in anyone else's house and the heating's on, suddenly they say to me, are you all right? You know, your face has got red. And I can't understand it. I mean, I'm 80. I can't. Never had a problem, and I do moisturise all the time.
Look, I think, Sue, it depends on your skin type. It depends on the sort of heating. And you're in Melbourne, and we've had some incredibly cold weather in the last couple of weeks. And for all sorts of reasons, there are certain foods that help increase the circulation in our extremities, in our face. A glass of your favourite wine will do that as well. Hot tea will do that. So keep the moisturising going. Don't maybe turn the heating back a bit and put on a little bit of extra clothing. And then the atmosphere, the air in the room won't be quite as hot. But just look after your skin. I think with a bit of luck, we are through the worst of the cold and we will just be able to get back to normal. And remember, we've all been inside, so we're not getting that outside stimulation too. So, look, it's just all about skincare, Sue.
Yeah, but rosacea is not something to dismiss, either.
Oh, no, not at all. But if you suspect, now, rosacea is different. That looks as if a butterfly's landed on your nose, Sue. So it comes up across the bottom part of your forehead and down onto your cheeks. If that's an issue, then perhaps you could take that up with your doctor.
Yes, thanks so much for your call there, Sue. Ray from Castle Hill, last caller for today.
Oh, Ray.
Hi. I'm Ray. I just wanted to get a question regarding to vitamin K.
Yes.
Now, I do have calcium deposits in my artery, and I don't want some statins, and I've got a heart attack at the age of 30.
Okay.
So I take a K2-D3. Is that helpful?
That's fine. The recommended clinically proven amount of K2 that you need, Ray, is 180 microgram per day. So check your combination, because often in combination there's not enough of the K2 and you might have to double the dose, or you can take it separately as an individual 180 microgram. But that is the clinically proven amount you have each day.
Thanks so much, Ray, and thank you to all of our callers today. If you are unable to get through, of course, head along to houseofwellness.com.au to that Ask tab. There's lots of other amazing information there on our website, houseofwellness.com.au. And we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Do you always feel like you have a lot going on in life? Well, try Go Healthy's Go Ashwagandha 8000 Plus Stress and Energy from Chemist Warehouse. The herb ashwagandha has been traditionally used in Ayurvedic medicine to support memory and mental recall. The formula also contains vitamin B5, which supports energy production and a healthy stress response in the body. Go Healthy's Go Ashwagandha 8000 Plus Stress and Energy One a Day is $18.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
It has been lovely to spend this last hour with you. If you're after more House of Wellness, do check out House of Wellness TV, which is back on your screens today on Channel 7 at midday. Gerald, we're learning all about How to Turn Meal Scraps into Mulch with Luke Hines.
Yes, and it's a very entertaining story. It's terrific for kids to watch because it just teaches them the importance of where compost can go and that really the most important thing, particularly if you're into fishing, is the role of worms.
Worms. Are you into composting, Sal?
I did have, actually, a composting kind of, I don't know what you call it, composting bin, actually, in our, we have a studio kitchen, and we used to put a lot of our food scraps in there. It was a little kind of set on top. It was fantastic. At home, I don't have one out of the space, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, kids learning about how, you know, the importance
of... The cycle.
The cycle, yes. That's right. But, Sal, I've been looking to you for soups, I've got to say, because, you know, in the winter months, I love a warming soup.
Do you want to? There's a really easy sweet potato and onion. You literally put the sweet potato and the onion in the oven. When it comes out, you blend it with some stock.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. And Sal, this may sound creepy, but I can't look at a pie without thinking of you.
That's a compliment,
yes,
actually.
Yes, it is.
I think we
go back a long way, pies, you and me. And
we do.
I had a magnificent curry pie yesterday for lunch. It was wet, it was cold, magnificent. So if you could send down some more, please, that'd be good.
Get right on it.
But it's very much about the herbs and spices that you're putting into something like that. So what do you go to?
Thyme is a beautiful one with sweet potato and onion soup or a little bit of oregano. I never mention coriander because when I mention coriander, people send me hate mail.
I know. People are so funny about coriander. It's like, just don't put it in if you don't like it.
It's a very divisive herb.
Or just put a little bit in.
Well, that's right. But what about a bit of turmeric?
We love turmeric.
And a touch of chilli.
Yes, and some smoked paprika.
Oh, stunning. Now, okay, Gerald, there's a lift out today
as well. House of Wellness Plus Skin Beauty lift out in the Sunday papers. Good read. You're sitting inside having a soup.
Well, that's right. And obviously we're going to go off and spend half an hour moisturising today.
Yes,
If you've got a little bit of spare time, make sure that you get your moisturiser on. As always, do head along to houseofwellness.com.au for more information. Sal, it's been so lovely to see you again.
Good to see you, Sally.
Gerald, awesome to see you as well.
Have a good day, Joe.
Thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse, and we will see you all again next week.